And it ties in completely with Bhagavad Gita 18:66, because it's basically going to say the same thing, only from a different angle of vision. So just like Kamlesh's favorite verse is 18:66, this is one of my favorite verses. Please repeat. Daivi hiyesha gunamayi. Mama maya duratyaya. Mam evaye prapadyante. Mayam etam tarantite. This, I recommend, is one verse you should definitely memorize. Daivi, transcendental. He, certainly. Esha, this. Guna mayi, consisting of the three modes of material nature. Mama, my. Maya, energy. Duratyaya, very difficult to overcome. So that's important. Don't think that this material energy is a snap or a breeze. This verse is reminding you, very difficult to overcome. Next word. Mam, unto me. Eva, certainly. Ye, those who. Prapadyante, surrender. There it is. Same thing as Bhagavad Gita 18:66. Surrender. Same thing. Mayam etam. This illusory energy. Taranti. Overcome. Te. They. So you all know I've said millions of times. That song, Bajahure Mana Srinanda Nandana Abhaya Charanara Vindare Durlaba Manava Janama Satsange Taraha Ebhava Sindhure. So that's Bengali. Taraha Ebhava Sindhure. That's Bengali. Here Krishna is saying, Mayam Etam Tarantite in Sanskrit. Same thing. Same exact thing. Material energy, how can you overcome it? Huh? Only by surrender. Surrender, surrender. Please repeat the translation. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So, those who have surrendered, those are called devotees. Here is another way, another slant. Kapila Dev, when he is instructing his mother, Devahuti, he says that as you do bhakti, the modes of nature act less stringently on you. The more sinful you are, the modes become tighter and tighter and tighter. Take a look. When you become an animal, you don't have as much facility and freedom as you do in the human form. You're very limited. Look at a dog. A dog, what kind of words can it say? Ho, ho. That's its vocabulary. But as a human being, you can learn so many different languages. Because the modes of nature are acting less on a human being than a dog. So, the more you become situated in goodness and devotee life, you get more facility, you get less stringent, demigods. The demigod's life, demigods are primarily taking birth in the mode of goodness. Human beings, primarily, more or less, passion. So demigods, because those bodies are more subtle and of a different mode of nature, they can do amazing things that human beings wish they could do. For instance, right? Brihaspati. When Indra was puffed up, Brihaspati said, "Oh, my disciple Indra." So Brihaspati became invisible. Can you become invisible? Yes, Praveena can lock herself in the room, but eventually Daddy will knock down the... Come! She cannot become invisible. Demigods can become invisible because they have different kinds. Prabhupada says, Lord Brahma, his body is mostly made of intelligence. Pretty good. Mostly intelligence. Right? Agni's body, Fire, sun god. So different kinds of material bodies. But because they are in a superior mode of nature, then they have more facility. But the more you become sinful, or the more you become less Krishna conscious, your body becomes grosser and grosser and grosser and grosser and grosser. So, Kapila Dev said that as you perform devotional service, the modes of nature act less on you. So, we also studied in our, and we say it every time we have Nectar of Devotion class, right? The six characteristics of pure devotional service. It immediately relieves you from all material distress. So, if you're fried, if you're miserable, then just do bhakti. That's all. Simple. Start doing bhakti. Start chanting. Start reading Bhagavad Gita. And before long, you will feel some relief. It's very simple. It's axiomatic. Let's look at the purport. This is a nice purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable energies, and all these energies are divine. Although the living entities are part of his energy and are therefore divine, due to contact with material energy, their original superior power is covered. Being thus covered by material energy, one cannot possibly overcome its influence. That's very simple. You take any kind of intoxication, then you become what they say, you're under the influence. The policeman, when he stops a driver on New Year's Eve, "Sir, have you been drinking?" Right? He can smell it from the person's breath. Or maybe you've seen those commercials where the policeman comes and he opens the door and all the liquor comes out of the guy's car door. Have you seen that? Right? So that's true. That is, when you become under the influence of the modes of nature, right, your superior power becomes covered. Anyone who's intoxicated, they can't even walk a straight line. That's one of the things the policeman does. All right, come out of the car, walk the straight line. But the guy can't even walk a straight line, and sometimes he just falls down. Then the policeman knows, okay, come with me. You cannot drive home. You cannot walk a straight line. He's so intoxicated. His superior power, the guy can't even speak a plain sentence. He sounds like a president we once had. Somebody who's under the influence. Blah, blah.
Yes.
People, because I know, before becoming a devotee, before I was a devotee, I would play music in a bar in Greenwich Village. So there'd be some people, my show would start at 7, and I'd be there till like 1 o'clock in the morning, and there'd be a few people from 7 o'clock at the bar till 1 p.m. or 1 a.m. at the bar. So by the end of the night, the guy had, you know, the bar only had to throw them out. They're so intoxicated, they have gone deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the mode of tamogun, ignorance. Being thus covered by material energy, one cannot possibly overcome its influence. As previously stated, both the material and spiritual natures, being emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are eternal. The living entities belong to the eternal, superior nature of the Lord, but due to contamination by the inferior nature, matter, their illusion is also eternal. The conditioned soul is therefore called Nitya Baddha, or eternally conditioned. And this is nicely explained in Krishna book in the nice chapter called Prayers by the Personified Vedas. This Nitya Baddha and Nitya Mukta is nicely explained there. It's a very nice section. The conditioned soul is therefore called Nitya Baddha, or eternally conditioned. Now Prabhupada's going to explain that. No one can trace out the history of his becoming conditioned at a certain date in material history. Because you get this question all the time. Oh, when did it start for me? No, you're not going to be able to trace it out. Okay? So don't even worry about it. Consequently, his release from the clutches of material nature is very difficult. Even though that material nature is an inferior energy, because material energy is ultimately conducted by the Supreme Will. So whose Supreme Will? Krishna's. Very good. Which the living entity cannot overcome. Inferior material nature is defined herein as divine nature due to its divine connection and movement by the divine will. That's an important. Because someone may become confused and say, hey, wait a second. Why are you speaking so much about the material nature? This verse said, this divine energy. So I like the material energy. It's divine. Now, that's why you need the purport. Prabhupada just explained. Yes, it's divine because it's being conducted by the divine will. It's not so divine for you and me. Is it divine when you touch fire? Is that divine? Is it divine when the dentist takes out all your teeth? Is that so divine? Is it divine when you got cancer? Oh, it's real divine then. Is it divine when you have a cardiac arrest? Oh, it's not so divine then, is it? Yes. For us, the material nature is not so divine. We'd like to think it was, but it's not so divine. Inferior material nature is defined herein as divine nature due to its divine connection and movement by the divine will. Being conducted by divine will, material nature, although inferior, acts so wonderfully in the construction and destruction of the cosmic manifestation. Yes, when the earthquake came and knocked down your wall, wasn't so divine, was it? Yes. The Vedas confirm this as follows. Mayam tu prakritim vidyam. Mayinam tu maheshwaram. Just like a few months ago, they had all these fires real close by in Yorba Linda. Huh? And I was talking, what was that? Narendra Shah said that he came real close. And I think his daughter or son, there was some problem. Anyway, some people, right, those fires, they lost their house or the house got damaged. And then what came right after that? Rain. And then there was all this mud damage. Wasn't so divine, was it? Okay, the Vedas confirm this. Although Maya, illusion, is false or temporary, the background of Maya is the supreme magician, the personality of Godhead, who is Maheshwara, the supreme controller. And that's from the Upanishad. Here it is. Another meaning of guna is rope. It is to be understood that the conditioned soul is tightly tied by the ropes of illusion. A man bound by the hands and feet cannot free himself. He must be helped by a person who is unbound. Because the bound cannot help the bound, the rescuer must be liberated. So that's the spiritual master. The spiritual master is that person who is not bound. So when you select the spiritual master, that's what you're looking for. Is he a conditioned soul like me, or is he a liberated soul? Very simple. Very simple. The bound cannot help the bound. Therefore, only Lord Krishna or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without such superior help, one cannot be freed from the bondage of material nature. Devotional service or Krishna consciousness can help one gain such release. Krishna, being the Lord of the illusory energy, can order this insurmountable energy to release the conditioned soul. That's what we're saying when we chant Hare Krishna. Some people, so many times, why do you chant? Here's why we chant. We're asking Krishna to release us from imprisonment. What is the meaning of the Maha Mantra? O energy of the Lord, O Lord, engage me in your service. They're synonymous. I've been saying that all night long. They are synonymous. There is no in-between state. I want to be liberated, but I don't want to do any service. Doesn't work that way. You want to become free, then you have to enlist in Krishna's army. Krishna's army is known as devotees. That's Krishna's army. Surrender means to be engaged in Krishna's service. Or nimitta matram. What did the universal form tell Arjuna? I want you to be an instrument. That's what it means to surrender, to become Krishna's instrument, to do Krishna's work. Krishna's work is devotional service. So when we chant Hare Krishna, we're calling out, Radharani, Krishna, please give me some service, because by that service, I'll become free from this material entanglement. Krishna, being the Lord of the illusory energy, can order this insurmountable energy to release the conditioned soul. In other words, you only have two choices. Are you going to be in Maya's service or Krishna's service? That's it. You only get two choices. There's no in-between. No, I don't like Maya, but I don't like Krishna. Isn't there a third choice? No. It's either Maya. Okay. Is there a choice between light and darkness? No, that's all you get. You're either in light or you're in darkness. That's it. There's no third state. So, Prabhupada's masthead on Back to Godhead, which is taken from a verse of Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Wherever there is Godhead, there is light. Right? And Maya is darkness. Wherever there is Godhead, there's no Maya. So, tamasi ma jyotir gama. Come out of the darkness and into the light. So, take your choice. You want to stay in darkness? Go to Las Vegas. Go ahead. Stay in darkness. You want to come to the light? Come to Kundan Loka. Come next week to Kamlesh Patel. Come on Akadasi March 7th to Krishna Culture Center in Buena Park. Like that. Simply do devotional service, you're liberated. Devotional service or Krishna consciousness, oh, did I skip something? Let's go back. Therefore, only Lord Krishna or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Remember, guna, ropes, we're tied up. We're tied up by these modes of nature. And the bound can't help the bound. Right? Have you ever seen somebody in a straight jacket? Unless you're Houdini, he was able to get out of it. But we're not Houdini. Right? If you're tied up, you need some... I mean, there's so many movies, right? The girl, the guy is tied up by the chair, and then the hero comes and, you know... That's the guru. He comes and rescues you. Can't do it yourself. You're tied up. Can't do it yourself. Okay, therefore, only Lord Krishna or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without such superior help, one cannot be freed from the bondage of material nature. Devotional service or Krishna consciousness can help one gain such release. Krishna, being the Lord of the illusory energy, can order this insurmountable energy to release the conditioned soul. Oh, yes. Krishna, please order. Please, right now. Order on me. Yes, please. I would love to get free from the insurmountable material energy right now. He orders this release out of his causeless mercy on the surrendered soul. Bhagavad Gita 18:66. You have to be a surrendered soul. You have to surrender. Out of his paternal affection for the living entity. Yes, later on in chapter 14, Krishna says, I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. So everyone has this. That's why in many religions, God the Father. And that's true. It's right there in Bhagavad Gita. God the Father. Krishna is the Father of all. It's not a euphemism. It's true. He is the seed-giving Father of all living entities. Okay, he orders this release out of his causeless mercy on the surrendered soul and out of his paternal affection for the living entity who is originally a beloved son of the Lord. Therefore, surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Ha! Therefore, surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is the only means to get free from the clutches of the stringent material nature. What was that word? Surrender. The Prabhupada purport continues. The words Mam Eva are also significant. Mam means unto Krishna or Vishnu only, and not Brahma or Shiva. Although Brahma and Shiva are greatly elevated and are almost on the level of Vishnu, it is not possible for such incarnations of Rajaguna passion and Tamoguna ignorance to release the conditioned soul from the clutches of Maya. In other words, both Brahma and Shiva are also under the influence of Maya. And some people, when they read that, close the book and say, I don't want to hear no more of this. Some people, not you. In other words, both Brahma and Shiva are also under the influence of Maya. Only Vishnu is the master of Maya. Therefore, he alone can give release to the conditioned soul. The Vedas confirm this in the phrase, Tam Eva Viditva. Freedom is possible only by understanding Krishna. Even Lord Shiva affirms that liberation can be achieved only by the mercy of Vishnu. Huh. Shiva knows because he's a great devotee. He's not going to pretend to be something that he's not. So that's why this is very significant. That's why Prabhupada put it in here, because he knows some people are going to flip out. So he just said, well, guess what? Even Lord Shiva says liberation can only be achieved by the mercy of Vishnu. Lord Shiva says, Mukti Pradata Sarvesham Vishnur Evana Sangshaya. There is no doubt that Vishnu is the deliverer of liberation for everyone. And that ends this very important verse of Bhagavad Gita. Yes, Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita is very heavy, very strong, but it's nectar. Yes, Prabhu?